Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, BJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a peak from a place called Durham, South Carolina. And this is Black Bicolor Only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take form the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Well, I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black Bicolor Only. Hey, everybody out there listening to this broadcast, I hope today finds you doing well. Happy Saturday to you, Saturday before Thanksgiving. And let me just alert you to the call-in number. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284, and you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But I will give you a word of warning. Please be advised of the aforementioned fruit bat alert, the fruit bat warning. If you are a person who likes to indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, trolling, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. In other words, you'll suffer the curse of the fruit bat. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, just be respectable in your interactions on this show, okay? So once again, happy Saturday to everybody. Can I ask you all something out there? And this isn't anything related to the show or anything like that. Have you all ever had salt-free bacon? Salt-free bacon. And this morning for breakfast, my wife cooked me some salt-free bacon. I didn't know she was going to cook it. And let me tell you all something. When I put that mess in my mouth, it was nasty. My wife loves it, though, you know. But put that mess in my mouth, I was like, who in the world came up with salt-free bacon? To me, the salt brings out the flavor of the bacon, you know, and everything. And maybe I'm used to it being salty or something like that. I don't like my foods too salty. But, you know, I do like, you know, to salt my foods. It brings out the flavor of the food. But who in the world came up with salt-free bacon? Someone ought to find that person, hang him by his ankles, and beat him with a broomstick until the dust stops popping out. I mean, that is some nasty stuff. And I'm afraid my wife is going to start buying it because she says she likes it. I don't see how anyone's taste buds can ever get adjusted to that junk. You know, bacon is bacon. It needs some salt to it. I ain't saying you got to salt it down or anything like that, but it needs a salty taste to it. Anyway, really don't have a lot to talk about today. I've noticed in my interactions on Facebook and certain news certain news sites and whatever. Once again, if you're looking for a good news site, I would suggest Spin Quark. It's a site where it connects you with a bunch of other news sites and everything. And it's spinquark.com. You go there and they list all the current events and whatever. It's basically a site you go to, and it links up to other news sites, and you can click on those links, and you know they'll tell you their headlines and whatever. But I think it's a good place to go to. Another one is called The Stream, thestream.org, stream.org. And it's mostly a Christian-based site, but it's got some really good news reports on there. So that's where I want to start getting my information from. And, of course, Epic Times, Gateway Pundit, you know, those are good places to go to as well. But in my perusing of news sites and everything, you know, you come across these stories, and you can really tell if you're a person who peruses news sites often, kind of like I do, you can tell the subtle biases in our news media today. You know, you can tell who they favor and who they don't favor. And one of the people that the news sites, they don't favor, one of the people is a guy named Herschel Walker. Of course, the main reason why people do not like Herschel Walker is because he's black and conservative. It's the same thing with Clarence Thomas, same thing with Candace Owens, same thing with anyone who is black and has a conservative leaning. They don't like you simply because you are black and conservative. Has nothing to do with your intelligence level, has nothing to do with incidents you may have been involved in the past or anything. They don't like you simply because you are black and conservative. And a lot of people, they'll try to explain it away, say, no, this is what he said, listen to what he said. But the thing is this, they'll point out the faults of one side, but they won't point out the faults of the other. Now, our present president, Joe Biden, has said enough stuff already to fill a book, but nobody criticizes him over it because he's liberal. And, of course, the liberal hacks, they have the control over our news media. And so if a liberal person comes out, or they have something in the past incident or something like that, you know, they'll try to gloss it over. Oh, y'all, that was in the past. That was this. But let a conservative mess up, and it's like, oh my goodness, it's the end of the world. Now, I haven't confirmed this or anything, but you know, they said something about Herschel Walker supporting Martians. I haven't looked because it was a bit of news that came across, you know, my mind today, maybe just a few hours ago. And they were like, you know, if you know, Herschel Walker, he's talking about protecting Martians and all that and everything. But and if Herschel Walker did say something like that I'm not saying that testament to his stupidity, because everybody's like, Herschel Walker is so stupid. He's stupid. Herschel Walker he's from the South. He's a Southern boy. And a lot of people in the South, you know, they have this dialect or whatever. And people have this saying that people in the South, when you hear them, hey, y'all, what y'all doing? You know, they have this saying that those people are stupid. Now, I watched Herschel Walker debate with Raphael Warnock a few weeks ago, and Herschel Walker did not sound like a stupid person. He might have the type of voice that I have, the kind of deep voice, my, you know, something like that. It might sound like, doesn't mean that he is a stupid person. and folks are up in arms about, you know, Herschel Walker, this man is so stupid. Why would you vote for him and everything? Why did you vote for Joe Biden? Now let's talk across the board, okay? Let's talk about the people you favor. He gets up there, yeah, the thing. There, and he acts like his mind just wanders. But we don't say anything about that. You know, he's a brilliant man, you know, because he's liberal. Come on, man. But you see it a lot. You see, and when you try to tell people, when you ask them the questions, and I ask this question, I said, what makes Herschel Walker so stupid? The best they can come up with is, well, just listen to him talk. Okay, well, then I say the same thing about Joe Biden. Listen to him talk. Or Kamala Harris. Listen to her talk. Give me something specific that Herschel Walker has said that is so stupid. Now, I haven't confirmed the Martian thing, you know. They say Herschel Walker is talking about protecting Martians because they're family and everything. Look, I just heard about it. I haven't looked it up or anything like that. After the show, I'll probably do that. But you all know what the big news is this week, though. Y'all know what the big news is this week. Donald Trump has decided to throw his hat into the ring again. And people are up in arms about this. They are already, you know, they're already putting out their rhetoric out there. They're getting ready, you know, to slam him and whatever. They already said that they try to make fun of him. I think on Twitter they said he wants to make America glorious again. And they said, okay, he's going to change his symbol from MAGA to MAGAGA. You know, make America great and glamorous again, which I thought was pretty clever. I thought it was pretty funny. But, you know, they're already starting to get out there and start talking down Donald Trump. And a lot of people are saying that Donald Trump will probably not win the presidential election because the same people are in place who prevented him from being reelected a couple of years ago. Now, I don't know anything about that. My thing is this, I think it's good that he's running again. Now, all of you all out there, you're up in, you know, you got your panties in a bind and you're upset and you're like, oh, man, Donald Trump going to run again? He going to run again? Well, what do you think he was going to do? He's got one more year. He's got one more term of eligibility left to be president, you know. And if you all had let the elections go the way they should have 2 years ago, you know what? You wouldn't have to put up with Donald Trump for another 2 years. But this man scares people for some reason. He's a scary person to them. Orange man bad. Oh, man, Donald Trump. Oh, man, it's World War III. Oh, man, the world's going to end tomorrow. They're so scared of this man. I don't see why they're so scared of him. But it's basically because of our news media. Yeah, Fox News, I include you in that too, because you all are saying the same thing. You all cutting off. My wife was watching a Donald Trump rally, and it just cut off. And this Trump rally was on Fox News. They just cut it off. So Fox News is in on the parade, too. And everyone's panicking. Donald Trump, oh, he's going to run for president again. And I'm going to say this to you all right now. I'm going to say it to you all right now. And you heard me say this on November the 19th, 2022, about quarter after 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the p.m. I don't know who the Democrats are going to put up against Donald Trump to defeat Donald Trump. Well, Biden defeated him. Yeah, right. Okay. You think when all is fair, Joe Biden can actually defeat Donald Trump in an election? Our gas prices have gone high. I mean, I went to get some eggs yesterday. I think that junk is like $7 something for some eggs. It wasn't like this when Trump was in office. And of course, everybody wants to go back and say, "Oh, it was Donald Trump's fault. This is just some type of inertial reaction or whatever, you know." No, Donald Trump's fault. It's Joe Biden's fault. But I'll be personally honest with you. I did not want Donald Trump to run again because this is the main reason why. We have never seen a president like Donald Trump ever. We haven't seen a president like him, at least not in my lifetime. And he just set the bar so high. The people were like, "Nah, we gotta get rid of Trump. We gotta get rid of him," you know. And so they did. Yes, and yes, I do believe that the 2020 election was stolen. Sue me, put me in jail, whatever. You're not going to change my mind. Go on YouTube. You talk about it. They shut your videos down. You're an election denier. Well, what do we call those people who complained about Donald Trump after he got elected in 2016? Those were election deniers. And matter of fact, they showed their rage by destroying businesses, setting houses and businesses on fire, throwing water on people when they go into the presidential ball. But you want to call people who questioned the 2020 election as election deniers? Now, I think you need to go back another 4 years. But the reason why I didn't want Donald Trump to run is because it'll only be for one term. Not because I dislike the guy or anything like that. I think he'll be a great president once again, but it'll only be for one term. Now, if we had him for two terms, I think it'll be something different. That's the only reason why I didn't want him to run. You know, because I really don't trust a lot of the other politicians out there, a lot of the Republican establishment. I really don't trust them. I think they're full of rhinos. Now, somebody gets up and says, you know, certain species of rhinos are about to go extinct. Just go to Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is full of them. But that's my reason why I didn't want Donald Trump to run again. But the rhinos and, you know, the Republican establishment, I don't trust these guys. I do not trust them. Everyone keeps saying that Donald Trump he's the main Republican leader or some crazy mess like that. No, he's not. The vast majority, I believe the vast majority of Republicans do not like Donald Trump. They like what he did for them. But when it came to giving Donald Trump his due verbally, they stabbed him in the back. Look at Mike Pence. And I doubt if Donald Trump does run again, I doubt if he selects Mike Pence as a running mate, because Mike probably one of the biggest backstabbers out of the bunch. Because when questions came up about the 2020 election, some people disagree with me on this, but I totally agree. I totally believe this. Mike Pence could have stood up and said, "Hey, wait a minute. We need to check this out. We need to check this election out. This election is fishy." But you know what he did? He did just like everybody else did. "Oh, there's no evidence. There's no evidence." No, you didn't even look into the evidence. You didn't even look to see if the election was bogus or not. Because liberals and the establishment Republicans. They want everything to go back to the way it was. Even though the Republicans are more hated than the Democrats in certain circles, they don't care. They just want it to be business as usual because Donald Trump came in, he upset the apple cart. And the establishment Republicans and the liberals, they did not like it. He set the bar real high for them. I think the bar is too high, but they can reach the bar. They can reach it. They can reach up to those standards. They just don't want to because they're so used to business as usual. That mentality, business as usual. And for one, I don't believe, I'm just going to be honest with you. I like Ron DeSantis. I like Gregory Abbott. But I don't think they will ever come to the level of a Donald Trump. Now, you can disagree with me. That's fine. And there's a hint, there are little hints being thrown around that Donald Trump might pick Marjorie Taylor Greene to be his running mate. Which, from what I heard of Marjorie Taylor Greene the other day, she would be a great running mate. I listened to her talk the other night, and I was like, wow. But even then, I don't think these people will come to the level of a Donald Trump. Because we've already seen what happens when people, when Donald Trump, we've already seen what happened when Donald Trump, gave people positions of power in his administration. They went there and stabbed him in the back. Not a one of those Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump helped to get into the Supreme Court, not a one of them stood up for him during the past presidential election. Not a one. The only people that really stood up for Donald Trump was Justice Alito and Justice Thomas. And a lot of people that Donald Trump appointed to certain positions or whatever, they just turn around, stab them in the back. They're like, thank you, Donald Trump, but you're still a jerk. Donald Trump may be the most hated president since Lincoln, because Lincoln, when he was in office, he didn't have any friends in the White House. He didn't have any friends in his cabinet or anywhere. And one of my coworkers, he voted for Trump the last time. He said he didn't want Trump to run because he said it's going to be four more years of people complaining and everything. And I can agree with him. Now, I think Donald Trump will. I'm not too sure if he can help correct what's going on in our nation right now. It might be too little, too late. I'm not sure. I have no problem with him. I really don't have a problem with him running again. I'm just saying, in my opinion, I think it would have been good if he didn't because he will only have one term. And I don't know anybody else who will be like a Donald Trump when he leaves again. And that's just how I feel on it. That's just how I feel, you know. Donald Trump has every right to run again. I wish him the best. I hope he does what he did his first 4 years. You all know I don't put my faith in no politicians anyway. I don't put faith in a politician. Donald Trump is not a politician, but you know he's in that world. So, but I really don't trust the political world. You got some good people in politics and whatever. But it seems like every time I look up, a lot of the people that you do put your trust in or whatever, they turn around and disappoint you. And, of course, the people are going to come out. They're going to start demonizing Donald Trump again, going to start talking about his racist record, which there's no record that he has ever been a racist. And, you know, they're going to start pointing out little things that he did in the past and certain things he said. They still trying to demonize him for January 6th of last year. They're still trying to demonize him on that. And I read an article. They said it was the deadly riots at the Capitol building. Those riots were not deadly. First of all, it wasn't a riot. It wasn't a riot. Most of the people who were at that protest at the Capitol on January the 6th, they did not storm the Capitol. When those doors were open, they didn't fill up the Capitol. Relatively few people got inside the Capitol. And those doors were open not by the protesters. They were opened by people on the inside. And how those people got that close to the Capitol, how that many people got that close to the Capitol, one has to question in their mind the type of security that they have around the Capitol building. How did those people manage to surround the Capitol like they did? I can tell you, because I've seen the videos. Security let them in. Security broke down the barriers, said, come on in, come on, come on, come on, come on. They talk about that guy with the bull horns. I don't know what his name is and everything. He was walking into the Capitol building. Capitol security was right behind the dude, probably not even 50 feet away, right behind the dude. Wasn't saying, hey, sir, can you just halt your steps and go back the other way, go back the way you came? Nah. He was just walking behind him, still trying to demonize Trump. They keep saying that protest was inspired by Donald Trump. It was not inspired by him. He didn't say go up there and cause damage and act like a pack of Hermodinas or anything like that. He said go up there. He said, I know you all will march patriotically and peacefully. He even asked Nancy Pelosi, do I need to send the National Guard out? She said no. She set him up. She set Donald Trump up. She knew what was going on. She knew what the deal was. Now, if you want to try anybody, there's your person to try. Try AOC. Try Nancy Pelosi. Those are the two people you need to try, put on trial, not Donald Trump. Because what happened on January 6th was not Donald Trump's fault. And the person who did get killed, it was the only one person who got killed. We keep hearing about, oh, there was blood and people were slipping in blood. No, they were not. One person got shot. She was a Donald Trump supporter. She was a MAGA supporter. And she was shot by a black cop from inside the building. She was shot and killed. So you can't call it a deadly riot and then choose to ignore all of the summer of 2020 when Black Lives rioters acting like a pack of animals, burning down businesses, people sitting there talking about these were peaceful protests. Compared to Black Lives Matter, the protest at the Capitol was peaceful. These were peaceful protests. While fires are burning behind you. Yes, these were largely peaceful protests. Come back into the newsroom, you got the smell of smoke on you. And people, I've seen the videos where they were letting them in. They were letting the security, come on in, come on in, come in. Now, in any normal situation, security at the Capitol building would have been armed to the teeth. Not a speck of dust wouldn't have gotten through there, but they knew what they were doing. It was an insurrection. It's not an insurrection. And they show relatively few people entering the Capitol building. Now, if it was a riot, that Capitol building would have been saturated with people. You would have just seen crowds of streams of people just coming in. It wasn't like that. I watched the thing in real time on the internet. And I'm still trying to figure out where was the riot, really. Yeah, you had a bunch of people acting like some animals up there, yeah. And no, I don't condone them breaking in or anything like that, but a lot of people, they were let in. One man was telling security, security just standing there. He's like, what are y'all doing? This is a Capitol building. Why are you letting people do this? And they just sitting there just stoic. And then they get up there and they're testifying in court talking about this was an outrage. And you could tell they were acting. Now, for all these years, we've been listening to these people talk about, oh, we need to defund the police. Oh, the police, they're bad. They're very bad. But all of a sudden, they taken up for the Capitol Police. And the Capitol, oh, I was outraged. No, you weren't. You were just a pawn being used by the liberal media, being used by the liberal politicians and the media to defame Donald Trump. That's all that was. That's all it was. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Donald Trump running again, look, he can do whatever he wants to, but it's going to be another round of this, you know, orange man bad type stuff. That's all it is. It's going to be, oh, Donald Trump's back in office. Oh, we got the racists back in office and everything. And they should have let the 2020 elections pan out like they should have, he'd be in office now. And you wouldn't even have to put, after two more years, you ain't have to put up with him anymore. But when he left, when Donald Trump left the office, they still talking about him like they missed the guy. You know why? Because he was their newsmaker. They can come up every day and make an accusation against Donald Trump. They can find out something about his past and say, hey, Donald Trump kicked the dog when he was 5 years old. Oh, my goodness. Is this the man you want to be your president? And everything that's going bad now, they want to go back to Donald Trump. When they evacuated the troops from Afghanistan last year, what did they do? They went back to Donald Trump. This was Donald Trump's fault. No, it wasn't his fault. Because Donald Trump had an exit strategy. Joe Biden was like, nah, get him out of there. Just get him out. Just get him out. Just get him out. Now, Donald Trump had an exit strategy, which meant you had to extract the troops in a slow manner. You didn't just say, okay, come on, you know. And not only that, they left, I don't know how many millions of dollars, maybe billions of dollars of military equipment in Afghanistan. But they still wanted to blame Donald Trump for that. That wasn't Trump's fault. That was Joe Biden's fault. Kamala Harris's fault. Because Joe Biden wants to get up there and say, hey, what's the thing over there? I extracted the, who you call them guys? Our military, yeah. I got them out because you know the thing, you know what I'm talking about. But you still have families over there, people over there who are abandoned by the government, by the Biden administration. You still have people over there. And our equipment is over there because of Mr. Joe Biden, not because of Donald Trump. It wasn't Donald Trump's fault because you all don't want to put the fault on Joe Biden because now you're going to have to come to grips with yourself like, hey, wait a minute. Are we sure that this was the right guy we should have voted for? Too late for that now. Oh, well, we don't care as long as the orange man is not doing his mean tweets. And you all thought that, you know, you sit there, you flip the bird to the conservatives, stick your tongue out at them, your boy lost, so you just think that's going to hurt the conservatives? Be we conservative or liberal, there's one thing that we all have in common. We are Americans, and whoever we put in that White House affects all of us, not just people on one side of the aisle. It affects all of us. And you see those gas prices that gone up? You know why? Because you voted for Joe Biden. And the signs were already there that Joe Biden was going to jack them prices up because he was going to close the pipeline, the XL pipeline. Thousands of people lost their jobs. Some people making six figures lost their jobs because of Mr. Joe Biden. A lot of those job unions, they voted for Joe Biden. Now they're complaining. Oh man, what happened? Y'all voted for him. You voted for him. What you voted for, and the signs were already. It wasn't like you were ignorant or anything like that. It wasn't like you didn't see the signs coming. It wasn't like that at all. Just like with Obamacare, the signs were already there that it was going to be a disaster. But you know what? Y'all still supported it. And people suffered as a result. Same thing here. Because you voted with your feelings instead of with common sense. And just like I hear people say a lot today, common sense ain't so common. Because you hated a man so much, the man could do the right thing. Donald Trump could have given every household in America $4 million, and y'all still would have found fault with him. You know why? Because the news media trained your brain to hate this man. And a lot of you all out there who hate Donald Trump, you really don't know why you hate the guy. You really don't. Because I can shoot down all your little talking points about why you hate him. Oh, he hates Mexicans. Okay, show me where he hates Mexicans. Well, he said they're a bunch of animals. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. Well, he said that the white supremacists, they're very fine people. He didn't say that. Well, he said the people coming in through the border, they're rapists and murderers. He didn't say that. And see, the media twisted people's words around, twisted his words around to make his words sound like they said something when they really didn't. And people bought it lock, stock, and barrel. He called MS-19. A bunch of animals. He wasn't specifying Hispanics. MS-19 happens to be happens to have a large Hispanic membership, but he wasn't calling Hispanics animals. He wasn't calling Hispanics a bunch of murderers and thieves. He was saying that whenever they send their people across the border, they send the worst. He didn't say Hispanics were rapists and murderers. He didn't say that. He didn't say that white supremacists are very fine people. He never said that. Matter of fact, he said, I'm not talking about the white supremacists and the KKK. They need to be condemned. But he never said that white supremacists were very fine people. But some of you all, we can show you these facts till we're blue in the face. And you still believe what you want to believe. They call that cognitive dissonance. When you show someone the truth, but they still want to believe the lie. Because their mode of thinking was going in one direction. And I guess it hurts their brains to say, you know what? I'm going in the wrong direction. Let me turn this thing around and go in the right direction. A lot of people, I really do think that's a lot of people's mentality. They believe something for so long, they believe it's right, and then when someone shows them the truth, they don't want to follow the truth. They want to keep down on that same road that they're going down. They don't want to reverse course because it might take a little work to reverse course. Or they're like, well, I'm going down this way anyway, so I might as well just follow this way. Either way is stupid, really. But they call it cognitive dissonance. You have the proof. You have the receipts. You have the truth. Put it right in their faces, and they still want to believe the lie. Even though there is no reason for them to continue believing the lie. And you can talk up a good case for Donald Trump all you want. You can show the receipts. You can show them that, you know, Donald Trump is not this racist, xenophobic type of person that you think he is, and they still want to believe the lie. You can go back in the past and see where he's got NAACP awards. He was piling around with Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. But because the news media got in on it, and they said, let's spend this. Well, basically what it was Donald Trump wasn't running as a Democrat. If he had run as a Democrat, he would have gotten off scot-free. But he decided to run as a conservative Republican. That's where drew the line at. Wait a minute. He's a conservative? And see, within the last couple of decades, we have demonized the conservatives to the point where we think if someone is a conservative, they support violence against black people, violence against Jews, they don't like gay people. Remember the Tea Party? Y'all remember them, the Tea Party? You don't hear about them much now. But the Tea Party, they were described as members of the KKK without the white hoods. I ain't heard one racist thing come out of the mouth of any Tea Partier. Not one time. But they demonized them. They would say things like, oh, did you notice that the Tea Party, they came to power the same time when Barack Obama was rising up? I think the Tea Party doesn't like Barack Obama because he's black. And y'all ain't see any evidence to that. You just assume that because the Tea Party came up at the same time that Barack Obama did, they came to power because Barack Obama was a black man. And y'all go around demonizing him. And the Tea Party had nothing to do with racism. I forgot the name of the civil rights activist that they said that a Tea Party has spat on. And no one gets spit on. It was in March of 2000, I think it was 2009, if I'm correct. Members of Congress were going up there to vote on Obamacare, something like that. I don't remember all the details. But, you know, the members of Congress, they arrived there. And the members of Congress, see, usually they'll come into the Capitol building from underground. They got tunnels underground that they come into. But this day, they knew the Tea Party was going to be out there. So they said, let's come out in the open air and people can see how racist these Tea Partiers really are. Now, Andrew Breitbart, and I believe the award still stands today, he offered an award of $100,000 of anyone who could show a clip of a Tea Partier calling someone the N-word or spitting on a Tea Partier or whatever. Nobody has claimed that award. Al Sharpton himself even came up and he said, I saw the video. So, Al Sharpton, how come you didn't claim the $100,000? What did you see on the video? They were calling people the N-word and they were spitting on them. No, they didn't. But a lot of you all still believe that garbage. Matter of fact, just to show you how harmless the Tea Party was, there were people, you know, city maintenance and everything, like when someone comes in to have a concert or whatever, there's trash left over and whatever, and they had to pick up the trash. They were mad at the Tea Party because they were like, we ain't no trash for us to pick up. The Tea Partiers would clean up after themselves. Oh, you don't hear about that on the news, though. You don't hear about that on the news. Gotta keep on demonizing these people. Cognitive dissonance was in action during the Michael Brown case. Michael Brown, the 18-year-old who got killed, shot and killed in Ferguson, Missouri, hands up, don't shoot. There are still people that believe Michael Brown was on his knees, hands up, don't shoot, where evidence shows to the contrary. But people still want to believe it. They believe what they want to believe, you can put the truth, when you have a person who just wants to believe what they want to believe, you can put the truth right in their face, smack it on them, put it, gorilla glue it to their face. They still don't want to believe it. They still want to go that course of lies that they've been going on for so long. And it's because of this cognitive dissonance why people today think that black people, you hear this from white folks, you hear from Asian folks, you hear from everybody. Everybody believes that black folks are the most oppressed group of people in this country today, and that is one of the biggest lies that's ever been told. You get white people up there talking about, oh, yeah, I got too much white privilege. I'm a white person. I have white frailties. When black people start to speaking, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. Now, all you're doing is licking the boots of black of the apostles of blackness. That's all you're doing. And they don't care. They don't care if you come up to them and you offer some kind of penance or whatever, or you repent of your sin, so to speak. They don't care because to them, you're still a white person. You're still a person of privilege. You'd be better off dead. They're not going to, let me tell you something. These people are not going to be happy until every last white person is dead. They don't care about you. They don't care about you coming up and saying, oh, I am sorry for what my grandfather did to your grandfather. They don't care about that. Come up and apologize for slavery all you want to, which is something you shouldn't even be apologizing for because you didn't even partake in it. You can get up there and get in their faces and say, oh, I'm sorry for my white privilege and whatever and stuff like that. They're still going to see you as a honky. They're still going to see you as a cracker. White folks, you need to get a spine. Really do. You need to get a spine. Because no amount of penance to these people is going to make them favorable towards you. You're not going to gain any favor with them. I was watching a video with a member of, I don't know if you all know these this group called the Black Hebrew Israelites. Showed a white man kissing his feet. He was like, okay, that's good, that's good. Maybe I'll show you mercy in the future, maybe. Folks, if you know you're not guilty of the sins that they are trying to throw on you, don't be trying to gain their favor. I know the word racism is a stigma with a lot of people. It's a negative stigma with people. But if they're going to call you racist, let them call you racist. You don't have to be a racist for them to call you one. You stick to your guns. You stick to what you know. Oh, they called me a racist. Oh, it hurts. Shoot, they've called me a bunch of names, too. I just keep on going. And I'm a black man. Shoot, to me, a black man that thinks like I do, a black man who's a Christian and leans conservative, we are the scum on the pond. And you want to see some racist white folk? Let a black person say he thinks independently. He thinks as himself as an individual. The white liberals will come after you. But you won't dare call them racist because you agree just like they do. And you want to talk about blacks who think for themselves and following after Massa. I think you better take a strong look at that. Ain't no Massa here. Because I can think for myself. I'm a free-thinking black person. And that gaslighting doesn't work with me. You call me whatever you want to. I don't shirk back and, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'll try to be a good little black person. It don't work with me. It just strengthens my resolve. You sit there and call me all the names you want to. I don't have to listen to you. And, like, if you come on this show, you start talking that mess, hey, click. Next person. I'm not going to kowtow to you because you call me some names. And matter of fact, a lot of the names that you call your fellow black people who don't agree like you, those are old names that white racists used to use against black folks. So you are here talking about being an anti-racist and everything, but you're using the very same racist terms that white folks use during Jim Crow. You're using those same racist terms to refer to your fellow black people who don't think like you do. Toon. Sell out. Oreo. You even call them the N-word as well. I've had people call me the stupid N-word. Now, if this was my own platform, I'd go out and say the word, period, because I'm not offended by the word. I'm not offended by the N-word. But, you know, we've added such a stigma to that word, you know, when a person says the N-word, we think they're cussing. I don't think it's cussing. I just think it's just a bunch of people who don't like to hear that word. They had a negative stigma to it, which it probably is a negative stigma. It probably is. But I don't believe it's cussing. The N-word. Ooh, they call me the N-word. Ooh, okay. So? I remember I was talking to my wife last night. I picked my wife up at work last night. We went to a Japanese restaurant. And I was telling her about a teacher I had when I was in seventh grade. This was in 1980, the 1980-81 school year. I was in seventh grade, and his name was Mr. Lewis. Mr. Lewis, a bigger guy. He was a big guy, older gentleman, but when you took one look at Mr. Lewis, you were like, this is not a guy I want to mess with, you know. And I don't know, Mr. Lewis may have been in the military or something like that. He did not look like an English teacher. He was a doggone good English teacher. He didn't look like one, but the man had some brute force in his arms. We heard a fight going on in the hallway. He told us to sit there in our seats. About a couple of minutes later, he comes dragging in two black boys under his arms. Mr. Lewis was a big white guy. He comes dragging two black boys under his arms, each one in a headlock. Comes dragging them into the room, and he wrote the letter and told them to go to the principal's office. And he was telling us about the book Huckleberry Finn. And he said that the book Huckleberry Finn, a lot of parents were against that book because it contained the N-word in it. He actually said the word. Mr. Lewis actually said the word. Now, at this day and age, if Mr. Lewis had just said the word, mentioned the word or whatever, he would have been fired. He would have been fired just by mentioning the word. Now, this was in 80, this a little more than 40 years ago. I was in seventh grade. And he actually said the word. He said people wanted to ban this book because it contained the word in it. And when I got older and I wanted to read that book, when I wanted to read Huckleberry Finn, and they said, oh, this is the safe version. This doesn't have the N-word. No, I want the one with the N-word in it because, to me, that's the original. I wanted to read that book. But this day and age, if Mr. Lewis had wrestled them two black men, them two black boys into the classroom like he did, they probably would have had him, they probably would have fired him for being racist against black folks. I remember that day. I remember it. He comes dragging them boys in, had one under each arm, and he was dragging them in a headlock. That's how strong Mr. Lewis was. That's why people didn't try Mr. Lewis. Mr. Lewis had a very good sense of humor, too. He did. He had a very good sense of humor. But he was somebody you didn't play with. You can't have a teacher in school like that today. But anyway, I'm getting to the top of the hour, and I'm going to go ahead and do my advertisements. When I come back, I might make some more statements, and then I will head to the phones. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNN.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh. Then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns were setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and uses them all. It's got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust with 4 different gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but
I think the last time that I got to visit with you was back in August, August 4th of this year. You were at the Senate Judiciary Committee. You remember that, I assume. We had to cut that hearing short. We were supposed to do 2 rounds of questions. You said you had to be somewhere, so we cut it short. Republicans were not able to ask a second round as we had been informed we would. The press reported shortly thereafter that the reason that the hearing had to be cut short is because you were flying on a Gulfstream jet for a personal vacation in the Adirondacks. Please tell me that's not accurate.
Hour. I don't know what went on with the advertisements there. Mr. Garning has some new advertisements here. Some of them aren't advertisements, and I click on them because I'm like, okay, this is a new advertisement, but it turns out it's not an advertisement. I just need to be mindful of that the next time. But welcome back to the show. If you'd like to call in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you know, before I was before the break, I was talking about this teacher I had named Mr. Lewis, big white guy. You know, he looked like he could have been in the Marines or something like that. And guy had a real good sense of humor, had a very good sense of humor, but you did not cross with Mr. Lewis. Like in his class, you didn't have people just talking out of turn and just and talking back to him or anything like that, because he'd deal with you. You know, I remember I was in health class one time, and Mr. Lewis just stopped by the health class, and he came up to me, and he playfully headbutted me. And I could tell that if he really meant to headbutt me, I would have been on the floor. I was like, oh, my goodness, Mr. Lewis, you know. But he was a great teacher. He really was. I don't know if Mr. Lewis is still alive today. I don't think he is, but, you know, back then, you know, he could say the N-word and wouldn't get in trouble for it. And he wasn't calling black people the N-word. He was just saying that a certain book was banned because it contained that word in it, you know. And it amazes me how within two generations, how something can become so offensive to people, you know, even more offensive than it was back in the Jim Crow era and everything and stuff like that, you know. And you look at the situation, and you know, folks are like, well, how come black people can say the word but white people can't? And people say, because the N word is a term of endearment. You know, we taken that word and made it our own. See, we don't use the ER, we use the A at the end, the AH, you know. But it's still the same word. And I guarantee you get a bunch of black people fighting with one another. They get to fighting and swinging and kicking, you're going to hear that N-word thrown I don't know how many times. You stupid N-word, you bitch, you're going to hear it. Matter of fact, the people that I've heard the N-word from way more than anybody else are black people. I used to love watching the Jeffersons. George used to say that word so many times. I mean, excuse me. He used to say that word so many times on that show. Fred Sanford, you know, but now it's an offensive word now. It's an offensive term. You can't even just mention it. I remember a radio show personality named Lord Schlesinger, and I think this was like a little more than 10 years ago. She mentioned the word on her show, and now her show has been canceled. Her show got canceled as a result. It led to her show being. And she wasn't even using the word in a derogatory manner. She was saying, I don't know why that word offends people. And she mentioned the word three times. She was like, see, it didn't hurt anybody. But, of course, it did. Was Laura Schlesinger wise in saying that? I'm not so sure about that. But she didn't do anything wrong with mentioning that word. She didn't say anything. You know, she didn't say anything derogatory about black people or anything. She just happened to mention that word. And just the mention of that word by a person who is not black, it's an egregious sin. It's an unforgivable sin. You can sit there and apologize all you want to. People will never forgive you for it. And that, to me, that is stupid. And I don't know how it got like this or whatever, you know. I really can't explain it. You know, it might be something I need to sit down and, you know, study and research or whatever. But why is it like that today? Why people believe that black people are being held back today? The reason why we can't get ahead, you know, so to speak, because the white man's holding us back, but the white man didn't hold us back during Jim Crow. We had our own businesses. You know, Black Wall Street in Oklahoma City, you know, people talk about that a lot. They talk about, Black Wall Street. You know, they burned us down. First of all, they didn't just come in there and say, ooh, black people are doing good. Let's mess it up. An incident occurred with some black people in an elevator. So maybe somebody on the phones or whatever, they can explain that to me. But it had nothing to do with black people being, you know, successful and white people being jealous of them. Matter of fact, after that incident with Black Wall Street was built back up, and it continued into the 1960s. Now, explain that. They always want to talk about Black Wall Street all the time. But Black Wall Street was built back up, and it continued into the 1960s. And it seems like the 1960s seems to be a falling off point for a lot of black success in this country. Because when we were going through Jim Crow, most of a higher percentage of our teenagers were getting employment. We had our own houses. We had our own bank. We had our own businesses. Fell off in the 1960s. Same here in Durham, North Carolina. Durham had a Black Wall Street. and everyone wants to talk about the white man is holding us back. Well, the white man was definitely holding us back. And when I say the white man, I'm not talking about all white folks. Matter of fact, I'm not even talking about most black folks. I'm talking about those who were involved in Jim Crow. They held us back during the Jim Crow era, during the civil rights era, but we were succeeding. Our girls dressed respectfully. Our boys dressed respectfully. But the 1960s was when everything fell off, thanks to the Great Society and the war on poverty, thanks to Lyndon Baines Johnson. But we don't think about that. We don't think like that. During slavery, our families were stronger. If they didn't separate us, our families were stronger then. We were more unified back during those times of adversity in this country. We were more unified then. Now we got more freedom, and now all of a sudden we're being oppressed. It's almost like we want to go back to the days of oppression in a way. That's what it seems like. I don't want to go back to those days. I wasn't even alive during those days. I was born in the tail end of that. But they keep saying, we're being oppressed. We're being oppressed. Oh, are we being as oppressed as we were back then in the 50s and the 60s during the Jim Crow? Are we being as oppressed today as we were then? I think not. But you know what? You show this to the people. You show this to the apostles of blackness. They don't want to believe it. They want to continue on that same road. They just want to continue driving on that same road. You're going west. You're trying to get to Washington, D.C., and you're going west. You done pass through Texas. And someone asks you, says, hey, where are you going? Where are you trying to get to? Oh, I'm trying to get to Washington, D.C. Can you show me how to get to D.C.? Because I've been going in this direction. Well, if you keep going in this direction, you're going to end up in California. D.C. is behind you. You're going to have to turn around and go back. But you know what a lot of us do? We'll continue going to California instead of turning around and heading to D.C. Cognitive dissonance. That seems to be something a lot of fruit bats like to hang on to. Alarm. That means I'm going to the phones, and which means if you're on the phone and you want to come in here and just disrupt the show any kind of way with excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, things of that sort, trolling, you best hang up right now, because if you don't, I'll be happy to oblige you. But having said all that, let me go to the phones.
Hey, Vincent, what's happening, man? How you doing?
What's cracking, dude?
I don't know. It's very complicated nowadays.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, one thing I wanted to, that was buzzing me, that these incidents with Kanye West and Mr. Irving, where's the NAACP?
That's a good question.
Where are all the kneelers?
Mm-hmm.
From the NBA and NFL, where are they at?
Yep. They're not the right
Where guys. Are all the rest of the black actors? Why come they ain't kneeling?
Yeah. They're not the right guys.
How come Whoopi Goldberg ain't kneeling?
Yeah.
Action Network, Rainbow Push. Why come? Where are they at on this? That just goes to show the hypocrisy.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of crazy mess too. This week, I'm pretty sure you all heard about the murder of the three football players from University of Virginia. They had an article about that on the Root, mm-hmm. which is big time apostle of blackness area.
Yeah, and it's owned by white. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And, instead of talking about, this is an instance of black-on-black crime, because it was three black football players got murdered by a former football player. Instead of that, they basically want to talk about we need to get rid of guns and gun violence and everything and stuff like that. Instead of calling a spade and saying, hey, why is this brother murdering these other brothers over here? Now, if it had been a white person, oh, my goodness, it would have been something different. It would have been totally different, But this is the type of world we find ourselves living in today, where people will report that you have about five elephants in the room messing up everything. You choose to ignore them because you see a cockroach in the corner, And a lot of these situations are very tragic, with the football players and everything. But we also have to point certain things out, because what everyone keeps trying to follow this narrative about white cops and black people and everything. But when you look at the stats, we are the ones being eliminated by our own kind, not white cops or white people or anything, or white supremacy or anything like that, So
you got to be kidding me. Is that what they say? The stats say?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I guarantee
you.
Well,
you'll never hear that on the news.
You probably won't hear about 20. You'll probably hear less than 20 black people were killed by the police this year.
Well, they don't answer the calls in a hurry. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
They're around Chicago Avenue, where George Floyd was in the car smoking drugs. If you call dispatch for a patrol car to report right there in that vicinity, they won't come there. They meet you down the block, about four or five blocks.
So it's still like that today?
Yeah, the police don't go up there.
Mm-mm.
Can you blame them?
I couldn't blame them. No, I couldn't blame them one bit. Nope.
If you had a black man standing over a woman getting ready to stab, and a white police came up and grabbed his arm, then they would say and stop them from stabbing her, like you seen in that one incident when a cop drove up on the scene and shot that big black. They say that the white cop caused the black man to have a rotator cuff displacement in his arm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or put his handcuffs on too hard, or y'all shouldn't have tased him. You should have just talked to him. It's like,
or had the right cuff on the left arm and the left cuff on the right arm. Some crazy myth like that.
and some of this stuff. I mean, common sense will tell you it is ridiculous. Why in the world are y'all going to be bothered by that? The man committed a crime, okay? It shouldn't matter to you if the cuffs are all wrong or anything like that. The man, he's going to face justice. But they're so concerned about little petty stuff like that. So how long
two,
with you and – oh, go ahead.
You
go
had
ahead.
Two killings there at the Capitol. You had the one lady that was murdered by the black Capitol police officer in civilian clothes. He needs to be punished for that. I'm glad murder don't have no statute of limitation. Then you had another incident on the side going down the ramp. You had a black female cop was beating somebody with a stick.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And I think that person died.
I see.
So Yeah. And, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right about the Trump didn't tell them people to go right. Matter of fact, they were gathered up there. See, the bulk of them that was gathered up there before he even got done with his speech.
Yep.
So you mean to tell me that the people that was at the speech left to find a mass of protesters there already? So you mean to tell me that they got in the front of the line, in the front of the crowd, to go in first? I don't think that happened like that.
No, it didn't.
How are they going to leave and arrive there late and get in front of everybody else? That don't
exactly.
even happen at the damn amusement park. You don't do that at Six
no.
Flags.
No.
So I wonder what these people use as a mechanism for thought.
I don't think they have a mechanism of thought. I just think they just you know, whatever comes up in their head, they just say whatever comes in their head. I really don't think they have a thought process.
Yeah, and that just don't make any sense. They're going to come an hour after the people at the Capitol building started protesting and gathering in big crowds. And so these people are going to walk all that distance to get to where the location was and just going to, okay, y'all, here come the ones who's going to go in and call, let them through.
Yeah.
I don't think that happened because they would have been the only one that heard Trump.
Yeah.
The
exactly.
ones that had gathered there before, they didn't hear him.
Nope. And like I said earlier in the show, my wife and I, we were watching the thing in real time. That was not a riot. And I could say that till I'm blue in the face, and people will still say it was a riot. We were watching it, you know, you had certain pundits saying this was a sign of white supremacy. I saw black folks in that crowd. So,
oh, didn't they say they was trying to overthrow the government?
Yeah.
Did they say they was trying to overthrow the government?
Yeah. Yeah,
didn't have no weapons, did they?
They had no weapons, and most of the people, when the doors were open, most of the people stayed outside. It was relatively few people
goodness.
Inside the Capitol building. It was
oh my goodness!
Few people. I mean,
isn't
it
funny how
people would have stormed in those doors?
Isn't it funny how things change? Cause you remember back in Los Angeles at the California General Assembly, you had these black men walk in there with guns and rifles and shotguns?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Who were they?
The Black Panthers.
So they walk into the California General Assembly on intent to overthrow the California state government and take control.
Yep. Nothing's ever
said
about that.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know,
nothing said about that.
Yeah, you know why they make a big deal about this, because it had to do with Donald Trump. You know, everybody hates Trump, and, you know, they just want to connect Trump with it, and, you know, they just want to demonize him so in the future he can't run and stuff like that. That's the
main what about
reason
that other black group?
Big deal about it.
What about that other black group, the Republic of New
black
Africa?
Oh, okay.
What was
there?
Go ahead.
Is that the group that was in, you know what, I'm just going to leave it. I'm not even going to try to explain.
That's the group that said that they want to take over 5 southern states. Remember that group?
Yeah.
And they had a shootout with the police. I think it was in Philadelphia. A white police got killed. No, that wasn't that one.
Okay.
No, it was another one. It was on the other side of the highway. And one church had a white, either a white Jesus or a white Mary, and they kept at night going up there spray painting the statue's face black.
Oh, wow. I heard that one.
Yeah. And one of the leaders' name was Obadeli. Amari Obadeli. And it was in pretty much some cities. In St. Louis, they had another group that was led by Alvin Brown, and they would have plebiscites where they would elect their leaders national leaders and so forth in different cities. But nobody say anything about them.
Yeah.
One of the overthrow. I mean, how else are you going to take control of 5 southern states? You're going to have to overthrow the government, aren't you?
Yep. Certainly it will.
I don't understand why, because you don't remember these things, man. What's what would mean? I must be a misfit.
To be honest with you, the information comes at such light speed, you know, you tend to remember the things that you hear recently.
Like, you know, an hour ago, huh?
You know, and some people, they can remember anything. I mean, they just have their cognitive abilities are just amazing, you know. And me, I find myself remembering basically what I recently heard and whatever. And see, this is the reason why you need to keep on reading, researching, going back to, you know, you can't just research what's happening at present. You got to research what's happened in the past so you can be up to speed on a lot of things, you know. And people who can remember things like that, I admire them greatly, because, oh my goodness, there's such a source of information. They can just rattle this off, you know, and you're like, wow, you know. But
you know,
I remember when
America was great, you know, and I forgot to jotting down a bunch of things, you know, like Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, not Toyota and Hyundai. I remember that was great, man.
When
the phone lines you use, when phone lines was used by equipment you bought or leased from AT&T, and you used it like you want, you could get on the phone, call a person at SOB, and it wasn't nothing to it. Remember when kids could go out on Halloween and get candy without worrying about objects being in it, razor blades and needles?
Oh, yeah.
And when you came down back in the day, when you came down with the STD, it required just a simple shot of penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or they sent the sheriff to your house.
Right. You remember when you moved in the neighborhood? The carolers would come out and sing carols in front of your home, especially around Christmas time. You can't do that nowadays. You get shot.
Yeah. I actually did that in Washington, D.C. back in 1986. December 1986, me and a bunch of people running church, we were going around the neighborhood singing Christmas carols.
What was the name of that organization that had packets and things for people that moved in the neighborhood? I can't think of them. Whenever a new person, new family moved in the neighborhood, they would come out and bring them packets on introducing them to the stores and so forth. Your neighbors would bring freshly baked cookies to you and cakes. Not today.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
You move in a neighborhood, some of these neighborhoods, and you wake up tomorrow, your damn car gone. That's the greeting.
Yep.
Welcome to the neighborhood. You get to notice you walk to the bus stop.
Or the neighbors get mad at you for how you park your car and stuff like that.
People would commonly greet others, Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they greet you, give me your money.
Yeah. Cough it up, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Back in the day when real instruments was used in bands, not synthesized sounds.
Yep.
When a wallet was found, the finder went above and beyond to find the owner. Yeah. I've done that with my grandson a couple of times, several times. We found a wallet. We sat down at this one Cordoba's. I sat down and went through the wallet trying to find a contact or something. Money was in the wallet, credit card. So I said, well, I guess we're going to have to give it to the manager. And we did. Another time, I found a wallet laying at Tulane's parking lot there on Pershing and Devolver in St. Louis. And the lady put it on the top of a car when she was getting in, and she left it up there and pulled off. It fell on the parking lot, so I pulled up to the parking lot she was in, and went in it and found her information. I called her, said, you know, you left your wallet here on the ground. Oh, thank you. She came and got out, came over. I got out and gave her a wallet. So that was when America was great, man.
Mm-hmm.
And when TV shows had viewer discretion ratings.
Yep, certainly did.
You never seen no Empire stuff on TV back then?
Nope.
And Lucy and Ricky, they slept in separate beds with clean sheets,
mm-hmm.
nicely and professionally tucked. June Cleaver, remember her?
Mm-hmm. Always wore them high heel shoes, and she was a housewife.
mm-hmm. So that was when America was great, and you could probably name a lot of other things too.
Yeah,
but not today,
and
man.
It's sad today that if you find someone's wallet, and someone said, "Hey, I found your wallet," and they say, "Oh, thank you for finding my wallet." If the person found your wallet, they expecting a reward all the time. You know, like, oh, I found your wallet. You going to give me a reward? You know, I'm like, that's selfish too.
I had a neighbor who had an eyeglass shop there on Grand across the street from Veterans Hospital in that little shopping center. And I was in there talking to him. I guess I got up, my wallet fell out. And I drove off and got by a block or two away and got the feeling. Said, damn, where's my wallet? So it probably fell out in the chair. When I went back there, that wallet was gone. He serviced black customers, too. So, you know, that's just the way it is nowadays, man. It sure don't,
nope.
It's not a remnant of something being great, like
no.
We once remembered. And it's a shame how they're treating Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Where is the people taking up for him?
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, Warmack's wife told these things about how depraved and warped his mind. He's got a long head.
Yeah, didn't he go to jail for beating his wife at one time?
Well, you see, he probably did. I don't know. But that's the case when I tell you about family. Where is her father, her brothers, her uncles? They should light in on his ass.
I mean,
beat
really.
The snot out of
really. Yeah, because I told my family, I said, if y'all hear me abusing my wife or anything, you all have my permission to come down here, get all the male members of the family, come down here, take me into the woods, and bring me as close to death without it being illegal.
You're damn right. They should beat the head. He's got a long head. He got enough room for about five rows of knots that you can put on his head.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
Where's Sarge?
I'm about to bring him on. Him and
bring him on.
Another caller.
Bring that other caller, too. It might be Irondale.
Yeah.
Somebody called me up and
yeah.
threatened me. Sound like it's Irondale. I don't know.
I don't think Irondale has your number. Oh, man. Well, hey, Sarge, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vince. Hey, Pionki. Look here, guys. Now, you know fruit bats say many, many, many things that set me off, like somebody scraping nails on a chalkboard. Just listening to them does that to me all too frequently. But there's one thing that stands out over and above much of everything else, and that is when I hear some fruit bat after some police shooting saying out and wailing, why didn't they just shoot him in the leg? Man, that just gets to me like few other, I mean, I'm telling you right now, these people get their idea of the physiology of gunshot wounds from TV and movies, and that's what bugs the hell out of me. They have absolutely no concept of the dynamics of a gunfight, the dynamics of wound dynamics, the dynamics of wounding, the reactions of human beings, and the an infinite number of variables that go into how someone reacts when they're shot, and particularly when it involves a life and death imminent situation. They have no understanding whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, just because someone is unarmed with anything other than their hands and feet, and I'd like to remind some of these morons or these ignorant, uninformed people that more people are killed with fists and feet every year than with long guns of every type. Let me say that again. More people are murdered with fists and feet than with long rifles of every type, including shotguns, rifles, a quote, assault weapons, unquote, and the like. More. So just because the police kill someone that is unarmed with other, you know, with anything other than hands and feet does not mean that shooting was not justified. It just doesn't, just because they haven't got any other weapon. It depends on the circumstances under which they use deadly force. But you can't tell it to these crazy people. They believe everything they see on TV and the movies and all the hopped-up demagogues and all the nonsense they spew. Any police officer with any experience on the street or any experience seeing what happens to people getting shot or wounded. And we had a platoon sergeant in my outfit who got the Distinguished Service Cross after he kept leading his platoon with two bullet wounds from an RPD light machine gun in his chest. And he didn't leave the fight. He stayed in the fight leading his platoon until the fight was over, and that was 2 and 3 hours later. And he survived. He didn't die. So, I mean, this is not uncommon. I can tell you all kinds of stories about people with horrific wounds and either don't stop fighting or they go on to kill somebody after they've been fatally wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What you hear is nonsense. And I'm getting sick of hearing it all the time, but that's just what we're stuck with today. Because people would rather hear anything but the actual truth. But, you know, I think when I heard some of the things Bianchi and you were talking about, but I think one thing I think really deserves, and Bianchi sent me a great article the other day about it, with this FTX situation, the Sam Bankman-Fried. It lays bare everything that is corrupt about modern-day liberalism and the way they finance political campaigns and the extent of their corruption with people who are supposed to be regulating them when it comes to liberals with big bank.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an amazing story, and more keeps unfolding every day about this guy and the connections to Ukraine.
Now that's something right there. You know, I mean, it makes you wonder. You know, what does this guy do with what connection does this guy have with Ukraine? I wonder what's going on here. You know, I mean.
I believe in time, there's not going to be much to wonder about. We're going to see why it is. Many of these people in Congress are determined to protect the laundromat in Ukraine. Ukraine is a big international laundromat for some of these people, and they want to keep it in the western orbit, in the orbit of the United States, so they can use it to launder money through. And this FTX thing, I think, is the tip of the iceberg with that.
This guy here, this is how that thing used to be. And Ukraine has always been corrupt. And you had an exchange, and it still exists today. Both of them. It started off as Binance, BINANCE. And it was associated somewhere or another with the Korean. I forget the Chinaman who signed it. I think his name is Zing, but I'm not sure. And if you tried to sign on, they would not allow you because you had a U.S. ISP address. So what they done, they started a second Binance that was associated with the United States territory, Binance U.S., okay. Now, you have, with FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, who's Jewish, by the way, he had this company that was selling, using it as an exchange for crypto, and he also sold a token. And he has probably had a platform or two. I'm involved in some of those platform and projects, but nothing like that. So what they done, I'm saying the United States would send aid to the Ukraine, and it probably went into FTX and it'd be laundered, and then it came back, and then these funds went to write off, shall I say, support Democratic candidates. I think he was about the second largest donation to donated to Joe Biden's campaign in both 2020 and also presently. Him and Soros is right up there. Soros is another. Soros come from Hungary. Hungary's got a reputation of being anti-Semite. And the funny thing, Soros is a Jew. The president of Ukraine is Jewish. And tell you the truth, World War II have not ended because you got remnants of Nazism that still exist that want to destroy Russia.
Yeah. Let me get this other caller on here. Let me get. Hello, caller. You there?
Yes, I am here. And, yes, I hear y'all talking bad about me, so I'm going to get y'all right now and clarify. Y'all be nice to me now, okay?
That's the voice, Vincent. That's the voice, Vincent.
Hey, that's the voice of the person who's been threatening you on the phone.
That's the voice. He's going to bust my kneecaps. My kneecaps hurt now.
That's the only thing that will be hurting, okay?
What's up,
I'm nothing much. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody on the show.
Thank you.
Please spend time with your family and friends. It could be the last time you see them because people are leaving here left, right, and down the middle. Now, being that I got that out the way.
About Happy Veterans Day.
I'm glad you said Happy Thanksgiving because it seems like everybody's focused on Christmas right now.
Oh, absolutely. And we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, roof over your head, money in the bank, decent transportation, clothes to wear, family, friends, even though they might be very few and far between. We got a lot to be thankful for. Food on the table to eat. I mean, just be thankful. You know what I'm saying? But I got one question I got to ask all you guys. What do y'all think about Trump running for president in 2024?
Yeah, I'm voting for him in 24. I'm voting for him in 28 and 32.
Well, I tell you, I think that Donald Trump was one of the greatest presidents of my lifetime. He has a record that is almost singularly unmatched when it comes to positive successes for the United States. Now, Nancy Pelosi had a lot of successes, too. Legislatively and politically, she had a lot of success. She got a lot of things done for her team, but the policies were destructive and counterproductive to the United States in the main, and Donald Trump's accomplishments were positive for the well-being of this country and for its national security. There's a big difference. And if you look at Donald Trump's accomplishments, they were among the greatest in any president has accomplished in a relatively short span of time ever. Now, they've got a record to run on in that respect that is singularly unparalleled. Now, when it comes to controversy, I don't think there's ever been a president with more controversy surrounding him, much of it manufactured by his political enemies. Now, the only question is this. Will that manufactured, artificial, trumped up, if you'll forgive the pun, blown up controversy that has little to do with fact and truth, that is negative, that is, will that outweigh his record of positive accomplishment? And thus far, I got to admit, if you look at the mainstream media as a guide, it could torpedo his candidacy. Now, I always evaluate the situation on the ground in light of the circumstance at the time I have to evaluate them. Right now, it's a little bit too early for such an evaluation. I certainly want to see Donald Trump back in office, but I'm going to make my decision on what is most likely to get the best results to stop this Democrat agenda. This Democrat agenda is not only insane, not only lunatic, not only destructive, it's not only anti-constitutional, it's not only anti-American, it's not only absurd beyond all Kafkaesque measure. It is simply something that has to be stopped, but the Constitutional Republic will no longer exist. So whomever can do that best in the evaluation I make at the time, when the primaries start, and that's when I make my evaluation, is the person that's going to get my vote. Because I think nothing comes before stopping this progressive, Democrat, globalist, Great Reset agenda if we don't want to become serfs that are bound to their malicious schemes. So I'm going to make my decision on that when the time comes, when I can really see what the lay of the land is then. And I kind of hope that will be for Trump, because I think he deserves to get back in office. But I'm going to make my decision based on what I think is most objectively likely to create what I think should come about. And that is whatever will stop these Democrats and progressives, whatever it takes.
Yeah. And my reason, my thing is, I think it's a good thing, but the problem I have is that Donald Trump will only be in for one term, and he should be president right now. You know, whether you agree with me or not, he should be our president right now. And the people who are demonizing him right now, you know, hey, you only got, if you had let the election process go the way it should have, you know, we'd only have two more years left of Trump. So you can be like, okay, we only got two more years left of him. But now it's kind of like a prolonging of Donald Trump's term. You know, when Donald Trump left office last year, you know, people still find themselves talking about him and, you know, Trump this and Trump that and Trump this and Trump that. But now, you know, there's a great possibility, and I'll say this like I said the last time, I don't see anyone beating Donald Trump. I really don't. And you can disagree with me on that, and you can tell me why you disagree. That's fine. But I really don't see anyone who could run against Donald Trump. I really don't, even though people are demonizing him today. And, you know, they're saying all kinds of things about him and, you know, how he's kind of erratic and everything like that. But I just don't see anyone. I don't know one Democrat who could beat Donald Trump in
well,
an election.
Well, Vince,
today.
I'm going to say
I
something,
really
Vince. Look, Vince, look, man, you and I both know, I know you know this, that he won that last election.
Yeah. Oh,
there's
yeah,
nothing
definitely
on God's green earth that they've shown me thus far that's ever going to make me think that five key states, which involved 33,000 votes, so between 33,000 and 44,000 votes, in which the election results were manipulated by various means, caused him to lose that election. Five key states. And unless election reform is addressed in those five key swing states, because that's all they lost the election by, was
yeah,
33,000 to 44,000 votes in those five key states where the election results were clearly manipulated, either by violating the constitutional requirements for election law and changing them to allow universal mail-in balloting in disregard of the state and or federal constitution, or any other number of means. You can talk about ballot harvesting that was illegal or illegal or whatever, but they were manipulating those states. If that is not done, then it doesn't matter how many votes you get, just like the Republicans got 6 million more popular votes this time around than the Democrats did. 6 million. They got 53-54% of the vote. The Democrats got like 47% of the vote. But they got 50, anyway, yeah, it was a significant margin Republicans increased by. And I've never heard of an incumbent president increasing his popular vote margin by about 11 million votes and still losing to somebody
and
didn't even campaign and sat in the basement. I'm never, ever going to believe that.
Yeah,
I'm
not either. I never will either.
But I don't care. Look, until they come up with evidence that is ironclad convincing, that cannot be disputed, which they have not to date done, I will never believe it. I will never believe it. But I tell you right now, Donald Trump cannot win unless election reform is addressed significantly in these key states where the election results were manipulated. Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and probably Ohio. They've got to do something about that, and it's going to be up to the states to do it.
And isn't it funny, though, isn't it funny that this past election of this year, a few of those states that we had problems with in 2020, we're still having problems with them today. Look at Arizona. Arizona,
yeah,
Nevada,
yeah.
I think Wisconsin.
Isn't it just the weirdest thing when every single time, not every single time, at about an 80% margin, let's put it that way, okay? 80%, which is fairly significant in case you don't know anything about percentages. 80% of elections where there is a delay in the election results, and particularly those that have national implications, 80% of them always go to the Democrats.
Yep.
Isn't that a coinkydink?
I mean, really?
Always 80%? You would think
nah,
if it was a kind of randomized distribution of election results, well, you might see something closer to 50, 60-40 maybe, 65-35, 55-45, you know, something like that. No. It's always 70-80% for the rats. Why is that? That's circumstantial evidence. That is positive evidence. But when you add up the mountain of circumstantial evidence around these elections, you come to an ineluctable result, and that result is it's something rotten in Denmark.
Well,
but
you
gotta
understand the Democrats are that good, man. You gotta they're just that good. I mean, why are we gonna give them beef about that? They're just that good, man. Ain't no coincidence. They're just that good.
Well, I ain't buying it, man. I ain't buying it what they're selling. There ain't no way they're gonna make me believe it. But that has got to be corrected. They gotta take as much as Brian Kemp pissed me off and Rassenberg pissed me off, I gotta admit they did come up with an election integrity laws that would yield a result that most people accept as true, which allowed rapid voting. And I was in the election facility for about 2.5 minutes, and I was in and out 2.5 minutes. They took my ID, they read it, they scanned it, they gave me my ballot, I put it in, I put the ballot back in the ballot box, and boom, I was out. 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Huge voter turnout, Georgia. Nobody's complaining about the mechanism. It ran smoothly. These states need to adopt policies similar to that or better. And unless it is done, then Donald Trump will lose this election. In fact, any Republican other than one they select for us. For those who vote Republican, we'll lose.
Well, here's the thing.
I see your point.
Unless they select somebody like Romney or something like that.
Here's the thing. Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the U.S. Constitution says, the time, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But Congress may, at any time, by law, make or alter regulation except as to the place of choosing. So Congress has the ability to have a separate ballot for federal candidates because those other 50 countries, states, they're going to do what they want to do. Congress cannot dictate to them. But you can have a separate ballot with federal president, vice president, U.S. congressmen, and U.S. senators on the ballot. And they have to set the criteria on who can cast that ballot. That ballot should be a paper ballot. That should be and the people that's working the polls should be bonded. And they should not be from the congressional district or the congressperson that's on the ballot. And the tally should be done where the ballots are cast and turned in that night. It's not going to be that many. They should not be hooked up to no electronic machines, no Wi-Fi, nothing like that.
I told you
that. Chain of custody, signature verification on the envelopes if they use mail-in envelopes. And chain of custody and ballot imaging will be retained for a statutory period of time after the election so proper audits can be made.
When you take a ballot to mail it off, you got to leave it out of the envelope. You go there to the post office, and you got to show your identification. And it should be some identification on that ballot in that envelope to show that you cast it and that you was eligible to cast it. Then that postal person takes it and seals it and put it where it needs to be put to be sent off. On the regular ballots, there's no identification on them whatsoever. That's why I come. Hell, illegals can be voting. Illegals can vote for local issues. So they got a ballot that's got the federal candidates and the state local issues and candidates and also all that on the ballot. Well, those are down ballot issues. But nothing to stop them from moving up ballot and voting and putting marks by those federal names. And you don't know because those ballots don't have no identification on whatsoever.
Well, obviously, we have to keep ballots have to be kept secret, but the envelopes in which they're mailed should have signature verification. And I was amazed at how many counties in Georgia did not follow Georgia election law and maintain the ballot images as they are required to do by Georgia election law. So you can't really do a proper audit. All you can do is a recount of results already gotten, and they're going to yield the same number. You're going to get the same results. An audit shows whether or not each vote cast was likely to have been a legitimate legal vote. That's the difference between an audit and a recount.
Well, they had some obvious things that went down where they sent out 20,000 more ballots than the population in the damn area.
Yeah, like
that should have raised
that. A town with 700 or so residents in it, and they got 1,100 ballots out of it with Maggie Hassan winning that race. Did you hear about that one?
Oh,
oh
it's,
yeah.
It's several cases
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, 1,100 ballots were polled and collected in a town with 700 residents.
And that precinct, that area won't do anything to straighten that out. That's why come they should. You got to have separate federal ballots. And if them states and those local communities want to let that corruption go, there's no way you can stop them. No, only the people in those areas can stop them. And if they're not willing to stop it, I don't know what to tell you.
That should be one of the number one issues to be corrected before this election. If it isn't, we will get these rigged results. Because remember, they don't have to rig the results in every state. All I got to do is five or six states. They can target five or six states and get the results that they want.
Yeah, they can have voter biometric information. You know, that one law said voter ID shall be for those seeking to participate in federal election, possess a federal government verified picture numbered ID, such as card, logic, biometric, multimodal biometrics identity, verification models, as those that are incorporated with U.S. passports and pass cards. People can they can use technology that recognizes the face, iris, voice, fingerprint, and signature for federal ballots.
And isn't it curious as to how the Democrats did not revive with this lame duck Congress? Now they're bringing up the issue of a path to citizenship. For what they say, what that lying bastard Schumer says is 11 million illegals. Well, we all know it's more like between 20 and 25 million at least.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden now they want to pass the citizenship for illegal aliens in the lame duck session. Didn't I tell you guys that the most dangerous period of time between the November 8th election and in January would be the lame duck session of this rat Congress? This is not they're going to try to get everything they can through in the amount of time they got left from the House of Representatives because they're going to lose it. And that's where all funding has to originate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, basically, we got to keep our heads on a swivel because a lot of times, you know, for most of this year, we were predicting a red wave for this election. And one thing that used to get the one constant that I kept in my brain all this time was, what if the same procedures are still in place that were in place during the 2020 elections? You know, and I didn't believe it was going to be necessarily a red wave. I usually don't listen to the pundits too much. You know, I really don't believe what they say. You know, I don't believe in polls or whatever. But I didn't believe it was going to be this red wave that they were explaining. And sure enough, it turned out that it wasn't the red wave. I guess in Florida it was a red wave, you know, but but in other places it wasn't. The red wave didn't happen the way that people anticipated it would happen. Here in North Carolina, we had somewhat of a red wave and whatever, but we can't just sit here and just believe the pundits
you know, the people, the political reporters and everything, stuff like that, you know, what they say. Because once again, they're still skewed a certain way. They still have a certain bias towards a certain demographic and whatever. And we have to do our due diligence as individuals to study and research what is actually going on instead of just listening to a bunch of people in bow ties and high heels and long skirts.
Trump's tax reform is going to be done away with expires in 2026. You, as a married couple filing jointly, your exemption is $24,000. When he got there, it was half that.
Yeah.
Now, so, and not only that, the tax rates have been lowered. Obama was there, it was 35.9%. That's crazy as hell. Trump wanted to get him to 15%. And I think they sell for 20-something.
Yeah, well,
that's a lot of money.
IRS agents is even crazier. I'm hoping they can defund that part of the bill back.
From what I understand, they did. But that's based on the fact that by 2030, you're going to have 50,000 IRS agents retire. So they would just have a net of 37,000. The thing is that, I mean, that's just the way. And people should join their convention of states, local chapters, local efforts, because that needs to be an Article 5 convention where you start making changes with Congress and the federal government. It needs to be term limits. You need to have restriction on spending. I'm saying borrowing the money and things of that nature, because this debt is going to be kicked down the road, and it's going to be landed in the laps of your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Pionki, exactly. You've seen that Merrick Garland has decided to adopt a special counsel to investigate Trump on two issues. Number one, the Mar-a-Lago classified documents thing, and number two, whether or not he interfered in the electoral count, had anything to do with interfering illegally in the electoral count on January 6th. So we can see already what their strategy is here. And he promises a quick result to this investigation, unlike the Mueller investigation, because after all, he wants to torpedo Trump before the primary starts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we already see what they have in mind. We already see what they want to do. And we already know, by the way, there is already a precedent in history for interfering in an election at the electoral level. It was done during the Rutherford Hayes Samuel Tilden election in 1876, because on the first electoral ballot, Tilden got more electoral votes than Rutherford B. Hayes. Then you had objections raised to the electoral count, and they got together in a backroom deal, and they worked out a deal. So it's not as if the electoral count has not been objected to before. It happened in look up the history. 1876 it happened. Nobody got charged with a crime when that happened.
Well, you know, the most important thing about that is simple. Popular vote do not elect presidents. It's the states that elect the president.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's the states.
And
for those blacks, for those blacks, but those blacks
is
looking for these miracles.
Electoral ballots. When objections were raised on the basis of voter disenfranchisement and electoral fraud, those were the two main issues that caused them to set aside the first electoral count.
Yeah, and for those blacks that's out there doing all that hating, you cannot outvote whites in any state.
No,
Mississippi, you only make up 37%, and you can't outvote them. And hell, with you aborting your kids and everything, and all the other murders that's going on that's eliminated blacks, hell, you killing your own self in those ambitions.
Yeah.
They don't see it, though. But
so we'll see what happens with President Trump. But, you know, I mean, we all know what this is, the kangaroo court. One thing about the January 6th committee, they had a casualty rate of about 50% of them. 50% of them ain't coming back to office this year, which is good. because they got elected out of office and nobody wants anything to do with them because, you know, everybody saw January 6th committee was a sham. It didn't allow for cross-examination, which makes it utterly useless as a fact-finding investigation. Without meaningful cross-examination, I don't think there's any validity to any inquiry, especially not when there's a political aspect to it.
Yeah.
Need to have a January 6th on the not January 6th, but need to have a, when the Black Panthers try to take over the California state legislature.
How about a little bit more recently when they had the new Black Panther Party try to take over the Philadelphia election booths, remember?
Yeah.
And one of their big-time leaders, J. Master J., he's going to prison for 7 years, pointing rifles at people. These people crazy as hell, man. They are crazy as hell.
Yeah,
I've never seen such madness in American public life before. I don't think there's ever been a time in American history where it was just lunatic madness. At least during the run up to the Civil War, they were at least talking about issues that had some constitutional merit, one way or the other, no matter how you believed about it. You know, they were actually talking about real issues. Why now we're talking about things like transgenderism, for Christ's sake?
Illegal aliens
flooding into the country. You know what I mean? Crime, the most basic function of government to suppress, is now not even seen as a priority in many of these blue cities. I mean, I've never seen sheer insanity expressed as public policy with such rapidity and fecundity as I'm seeing right now. It's everywhere.
Well, why don't we leave with Irondale making a comment, and I'll see you guys. Go ahead, Irondale. Where you at?
Yeah.
I'm right here. I've enjoyed the conversation as always. Y'all are quite interesting characters. And, again, I wish you happy Thanksgiving. Please, it's important. Spend time with your family and your friends. And I just look forward to catching y'all all on the rebound, as Mr. Vincent E. Brown would say.
All right. Well, I'm going to end it right there. We're in archives right now. So next week, God willing, should have another edition of this show, even though it is Thanksgiving weekend, should have another edition of this show. And you all keep y'all stay safe out there. Take care of yourselves. Don't eat too much turkey out there now. And see you guys next week. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off until the next time. I will see you guys on the rebound. Y'all enjoy your week.